Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is the Lord's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that we can come together to go through your words. I pray that you will grant us wisdom and an understanding in your word and help us to see how we can apply it in our lives. I pray that this sermon honors you and that you will help us to all honor you in everything that we do. Amen. All right, so the application I'm taking out of this passage is that Christians are called to submit to authority. Before going into it, the context of this passage is that Peter is writing to Christians facing strong persecution. It's likely that these Christians were under Nero on the throne, and Christians are being burned at the stake probably and thrown into lion's dens. So this was about time where Christians were probably eager and ready to be told to rise up and take control, but Peter asked for them to submit, even to authorities that are against them. So why? Why submit? Well, let's find out. If you look again at the very first line, verse 13, it states straight away, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, not for people, not even for yourself, but submit yourself for the Lord's sake. There we go. Sermon over. As a side note, mostly when Lord is used here in the New Testament, it means Jesus. So this is for Jesus' sake. So let's unpack that a bit. By submitting to human authority, you are doing it for the Lord's sake. Why is that? Well, it's because it's what God wants, for God has put these people into authority. Paul says this in Romans 13, verse 1 to 2. It should be up on a slide. Yeah, perfect, right there. So don't bother turning to it. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority that which God except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For there is no authority except what which God has established. That's big. That means our 10,000 prime ministers, our good friend Donald Trump in America, our pastors, and even me, I guess for the moment, has been put in place by God. So, and submitting to authorities extends further than the top dogs. Verse 14 shows us that we're also to submit to the second rung, such as the local council, police officers, etc. This also means your small group leaders, even parents. God put them all in place. Verse 2 of Romans 13, consequently, whoever rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. You see that where this is going. There is no getting out of it. We are, at heart, rebellious people. We don't want to pay for parking here. We don't want to stick to the speed limit there. We don't want to pay for that online movie or walk when the pedestrian light is green. We want to feed those birds when the sign says, please don't. Yet by rebelling against authority, we are rebelling against what God has instituted. Therefore, brothers and sisters, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. So if you won't do it for Scott Morrison, ScoMo, then do it for the Queen. Just kidding. Do it for the Lord's sake. A great example of this is our boy David in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel, God had appointed and anointed David to be king. David knew he was to be king, but Saul was still king. There was a time when David was told that he had an opportunity to dispatch Saul, get him out of the picture and step in as king. But David states, "Do not destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" You see, even though David knew he was to be king, he also recognized that at that time, Saul was king. And Saul was king because God made it so. Even though Saul wasn't a good king and was out to kill David, David stayed his hand for the Lord's sake. So, submit to every human authority for the Lord's sake, for the Lord put them there. There we go. We've gotten through the first 6 words of the passage. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. My next point is this. Submit yourselves to human authority, for the world is watching. Verse 15 of the passage states, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." Peter delivers these instructions knowing that Christians are often the target of false accusations, and sometimes, sadly, true accusations. Peter is asking the Christians not to give foolish people ammunition to use against Christians in Christ's name. God wants us to pursue goodness through submitting to authorities. However, notice Peter doesn't say that the result will be fair treatment or even freedom from harm. However, God plans to use our submission and good choices to silence prejudiced people. How does this happen? Those who know believers well enough to see how our faith lived out on a day-to-day basis recognize that we do good because we are Christians. They will stop believing that Christians are a destructive force in society, or that Christians do evil, or that Christians are dangerous. They will stop being ignorant about what Christians are really like, because they will know better through direct experience. An experience I had when I was younger, I used to walk the streets at night with my brother Caleb, my older brother Caleb, very solid Christian, looked up to him a lot. And now this is before I was anywhere near being serious about being a Christian. And so this is around the time at night when there'd be next to no cars on the roads. However, every time we came to a traffic light, I would do the normal thing and, you know, walk across. I wouldn't even press the button. But my brother Caleb would sit there, press the button, and wait till the light turned green before crossing the road, which I thought was ridiculous. And it was really annoying because I'd have to backtrack back across the road, back to where he was, just to continue my conversation, because my brother was going out of his way to submit to authority. And this is obviously silly and small, but it stood out to me. So remembering that, like, how much more so when you submit to authority, how much will it stand out to people, watching? So submit yourselves to human authority, for the world is watching. Okay, have a look at verse 16. What do you think it means? Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Well, at the start it says we have to live as free people, but at the end, live as God's slaves. What happened? We weren't free for very long. Perhaps it's the middle of the verse that links the 2 points together. Who'd have thought? Don't use your... Thanks, Aaron. Don't use your freedom to cover up evil, he says. As Christians, we are not slaves to sin any longer, but we are free to live as God's slaves. We don't have to sin. We can choose not to. We should use our freedom to serve God. If you look ahead to verse 24, Jesus submitted and suffered under unjust human authorities. He died so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So we are no longer slaves to sin. Now comes my next point, and this is the juicy point you've all been waiting for. Submit even to harsh and unjust authorities. Even to harsh and unjust authorities. Look at verse 18 with me. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who do good and who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. But Daniel, you might say, verse 18 is directed only at slaves. We are not slaves. We don't even have slaves. We can just step over verse 18 and not worry about harsh and unjust authorities. Well, didn't we just look at verse 16 where Peter asks us to live as God's slaves? Perhaps we shouldn't have dismissed this verse. But that aside, look back at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, etc., etc. Verse 13 does apply to all of us, and yet did you see it say submit to every good emperor or to every good human authority? Absolutely not, but to every human authority. Submit yourselves even to harsh and unjust authorities. After all, Jesus did this when he submitted to Pilate and others in charge to be crucified. He did this for us, and we are also expected to do it. But even as we say this, this raises more questions, such as, are we not to recognize wrongs in our leaders? But what about the exceptions? What about submitting to people like Hitler? Absolutely, we can recognize wrongs in our leaders. I think what matters is how we respond to these wrongs. In our responses, we must ask, does it honour the leader? And more importantly, does it honour God? In the face of our leader's wrongs, do we disrespect and incite rebellion? Look at how some Americans respond to their leaders. Or do we mock and belittle? Look at how all Australians respond to their leaders. For this is all dishonourable to God and our leaders. So how should we respond? Well, puts it simply in verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. Therefore, in everything, show respect, show honour. You shouldn't go wrong if you do that. Hopefully. Next question. When are there exceptions to the rule? When does God's instruction overrule human authority? To answer this, we must step out of 1 Peter for a bit. And, next slide, please. Yep, so Daniel chapter 6, verse 35. You may all know of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was a trusted and loyal advisor to every human authority he was under. And he was under a few human authorities as time progressed. He would honor them and never show them disrespect. He recognized that the authority was put in place by God and that he was honoring God through honoring the authority. And this was obvious to those around him. From verse 3. Now Daniel so distinguished himself from among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." First of all, see how Daniel's submission to authority is a shining quality in his character? They could not find a fault, a chink in his armor. We must all be like Daniel. We must all name our children Daniel. No, you don't have to do that. The satraps and administrators proceeded then to create a law that would require Daniel to break God's law, forcing Daniel into a trap where he must disobey God's law or disobey the law of King Darius. Spoiler alert, he made the right choice. They created a law that commanded all men essentially bow down and worship King Darius as God, flying in the face of the first two of the Ten Commandments. Daniel broke this new law because it conflicted with God's law. Verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before." What a gangster. What a rebel. No. The law of God is above the laws of any land. If the law of the land puts you in a position of sinning against God, you must disobey the law of the land and keep God's law. However, expect to submit yourself to the due punishment of the law of the land. Daniel did, and he was thrown into a den of lions. There are plenty of other examples of such cases in the Bible. The law of God is above the laws of any land. Final question. What about Hitler and the Christians living under him? What if future leaders like Hitler crop up? Well, let's turn back to Peter, verse 19. For it is commendable if someone bears under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Undoubtedly, Christians would have suffered under such leadership, and there would have been many cases and where God's law was in contradiction with the law of the land, meaning Christians would be expected to break the worldly law, and there would have been lots of suffering. there would have been lots of suffering. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. So basically, if you find yourself under the authority of a tyrant, submit, but always keep God's law, even if that means breaking worldly law and thus incurring the penalties and punishments. It's not pleasant, but it is commendable before God, and that will be counted in your favor. To wrap this point up, we have seen that we are to submit even to harsh and unjust authorities, and also the law of God is above the laws of any land. I think there is a perfect summation of this point in Acts 5:28. The Pharisees have commanded the disciples to stop preaching Jesus, but that contradicts God's law. So they kept doing it, to which the Pharisees respond in verse 28. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and we are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. You see, as soon as the law of the land contradicts God's command, we are to disobey the law of the land and obey God's law. However, even in that instance, we are to accept the government's authority over us. This is demonstrated by the fact that Peter and John did not protest to being flogged after this, but instead rejoiced that they suffered for obeying God. My final point is this. Jesus submitted. In verses 21 to 25, he submitted to God's authority, and he also submitted to worldly authority, and in doing so, he bore unjust suffering. So then, we are called to do the same. So verses 21 to 25. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, and for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Therefore, submit to all authorities for the Lord's sake and because God established them. Submit to authorities, for the world is watching. Submit to authorities, even if they are harsh and unjust, and expect to suffer for doing good, for this is commendable before God. God's law is above the laws of any land. And remember, Jesus submitted and suffered under unjust human authorities, leaving an example for us. And that brings my sermon to a close for tonight. Sorry if that was long or short, I don't know. But we are not done yet, actually. I would actually ask that you get into groups. Now, the groups can be as small as you want. Make sure they're not big enough that everyone doesn't get to have a say. And I'll be handing out all these pieces of paper, except that one, and which have questions on them. And I'd like you to go through the questions and just discuss them. I'll give you about 10 minutes, and then Steve will probably come up and close us up. So here are the pieces of paper.